Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare, no, the devil's nightmare, here from It's Time to Man Up, challenging men to step into their true manhood. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
So when you're journeying after hours, it's usually dark, just saying. And when it's dark, is all the more reason you need to be walking with the word, right? And the darker it gets, the better the light shines. And so today on A Masculine Journey After Hours, we're talking about walking with the word. How fun. And starting us off here after hours, you know, it's sort of a John Wayne festival because we got a pilgrim. Just kidding.
Oh,
we're desperate today.
We really are. That's a reach there.
That's a reach.
There you go, little pilgrim. How about going on a progress?
We were talking about it. After Robbie holding the whole show up in the first show, we need a little progress. So, you know, between John Wayne and some progress, I think we're going to make it happen. Go ahead, Andy.
So my clip is from Pilgrim's Progress, and I've never watched the movie and not fully read the book that I remember, but I kind of know what the story's about. But this clip really speaks to walking in the Word, and this is Christian's journey. Christian is the protagonist in the story, and he's kind of wandering through life. He goes to Vanity Fair, where he experiences all these things. He's trying to find life outside of God. And that city's also named Despair, so he's wanting to get out of there. He's wanting to progress. He runs into this guy that points him in the right direction. And on his journey, he's got some baggage that he's dealing with, and he doesn't have really a vision. You know, it says where the people, where there is no vision, the people perish. He doesn't have any vision, and this guy kind of points him, like the word, points us in the right direction, whether it be the word Jesus or the words that he says and the word of the Bible. They give us the directions that we need. Let's listen to it, and I'll talk about it when we get back.
All the time.
You got to play it, Robbie.
What should I do? What should I do?
I believe I can answer that question.
I didn't see you there.
That's because I just showed up. My name is Evangelist. Now, what should I do, you were asking, and I shall tell you. Flee!
Flee?
Don't hesitate, don't waste time. Do what you know you must. You'll soon see with your eyes what you believe in your heart, and you'll get rid of that thing on your back.
You can see it?
Well, of course I can, and I dare say a heavy and sickly burden it is.
Oh, it seems to grow more by the day.
As your sorrows do, dear lad, so does your burden. But you'll never get rid of it on your own, I guarantee you. Now, do you see that gate over there?
Gate? Where?
Come now, don't wipe away your tears. Look through them. Sometimes tears have a way of bringing clarity.
I still can't...
Look past your sorrow, good Christian.
I think I see it. I do. Near the light.
Good, good. Now, listen to me. Keep that light in your eye and go straight towards it. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep
on the straight path.
Very good. Now, soon enough, you will come to the gate.
The gate.
And there you will be told what to do. Now go.
All right.
Quickly. Don't waste any more time. Run.
Run? But why?
Because the well-intended may not know what's best at all.
What?
Run!
So, as you listen to that, you can hear the desperation this guy's to get out from under the burden that he's under. And sometimes we just carry those burdens and don't realize what walking with the Word will do in relief of those burdens. He talks about going towards the light. You know, in Psalms it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path." And again, that's what he needed, was that word, and he needed to run to it as we do. But it's also so much true about the story of this guy's life, of that he's come to a place where he's had a lot of tears and he needs clarity. And how much do tears bring clarity to our situation if we use those to help with our vision and what God's trying to accomplish us in our old way, or our old man trying to do something different? But I mean, this is really just a allegory. It's a metaphor for life, in how we're on this journey, and we need to have the illumination of the Word with us all the time. And, you know, like I said in the first show, the Scriptures and Jesus himself speaking to us can bring so much clarity when we are just carrying that burden, whatever that is. You can be relieved the burden of your sin came to Jesus, and you can pick up burdens of trying to do things in this life apart from him, or on your own strengths, or people impose them. They laden you up with all kinds of stuff. You know, there's just a lot that you can be encumbered by. And God's word is to relieve you of that, to really give you the purpose of life and the sense of where you're going.
So tell us a story. When did that actually happen for Andy?
So, you know, I remember when I was just really excited about the Masculine Journey message, and I remember Robbie encouraging me of saying, "Look, you're a disciple. That means that you're an enthusiastic learner." And that was because I had walked in some truth, but not the full truth for a long time. And whenever your soul is impoverished, you go after that. You go after learning. You go after truth, and you know, seeking it diligently. And so that just as the, you know, as I walk through life, I'd gained a lot of wisdom and a variety of things in my past, but to really settle in on the importance of the heart and those kinds of things, probably really starting at 2016 or 17 when I came to the ministry and really just went deeper. But, you know, personally and walking with the Word, I mean, it can be anything. I was outside today. I've been gotten real behind on my home maintenance and stuff. I travel a lot, and I just took off this week just to chill. But I didn't want to do it and just come here and just try to knock a bunch of stuff out. I actually wanted, it was a break not only from travel and stuff. It was an opportunity to spend some time with God. And I was out there, I was like, "God, I just want to pull weeds with you. You know, I just want you here with me to pull weeds." And it's something simple like that I believe that pleases God, but it pleases me, because that is what we're talking about here. You don't have to be doing something great, but that truly is, I mean, that's what we're created for, right?
Oh, it's
more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole weed pulling experience became a whole different adventure when he's along, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and then I got, you know, what are we doing in our daily life from a spiritual standpoint? We're pulling weeds, right? And he's there to pull those spiritual weeds with us, too. But, you know, it's just stuff like last night. I was telling Robbie earlier today that I just look for God in a lot of different things. So I'm very patriotic. I love my country. And I was watching, I was like, you know, these Memorial Days, sometimes it just blasts through and we forget about it. And I was like, there's a lot of really good war movies that really can help me even appreciate what was given for us. And you can say, watch Saving Private Ryan, but there's a variety of wars that these men fought through. And a lot of times you see stories of character and faith and all that through those. But I was watching Saving Private Ryan last night. One of my favorite characters on there is Private Jackson. He's the sniper, sharpshooter. And he's the guy that quotes scripture, too. And I got to looking up today. He's quoted them several times, and I never went to look it up. And one of them was from Psalm 22. One of them was from Psalm 25, which is one of my favorite psalms. It's just talking about teaching. But it also talks about several other things. And then Psalm 144. But the Psalm 44 scripture is pretty cool in that, let me see if I can get this. Psalm 144, 1 through 2, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. And he goes on, I mean, he's actually in a tower when he says it, and he actually gets killed as that tank blows up the tower. But that guy quoted scripture. It was a part of his life, and his job was to, you know, war against the enemy, and he took it to heart, and he used it all through the movie and stuff. And I know that may be just a stretch, but
no,
to me, that's the way
it's beautiful. Yeah. Because if you think about what a sniper's doing, it's all about the trigger control, right?
Right.
I mean, he's got his finger on the trigger, and that thing's got to be smooth, and it's got to be pulled exactly right. And similarly, in David's day, you know, they had their fingers on the bowstring.
Right.
And so that idea of God helping you with your fingers is, you know, and now that you're a deer hunter, and Danny, you know, you guys, yeah. You get it, right?
Yeah.
That's a significant issue. And how cool that he recognized that, even that it got through Hollywood to make it to the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
You know, God preserves it.
Yep. There's so many scriptures. Sometimes they just seem general for a general population, but God has ways of making scripture personal to you. And when you're going through a time, somebody gives you a scripture, you read a scripture, you find something that it truly is life. The words of life, quoting outlaw Josie Wales, but I mean, it is. It's life when God gives you those nuggets at the appropriate time.
When you said outlaw Josie Wales,
yeah,
Rodney started bowing down to you like, oh my gosh, you've done it now. So beautiful. So Danny, it looked like you had something.
Well, Andy mentioned the Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And on down in there, in verses 129 and 130 is, your decrees are wondrous, therefore I obey them. The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. And, you know, I've always looked at those scriptures, especially the one Andy quoted, that, you know, even when you're driving down the road at night, you got your headlights on, you can't see but so far.
After hours.
After hours, yeah, after hours. Going home tonight. But you can't see but so far. And I think what I've learned, Robbie, trying to walk this thing we call Christianity out by reading the Word and figuring it out, is God's not going to show you the whole plan. Because if you see the whole plan, you're going to stop the car and pull over and get out. Because it's going to scare you. And I've seen that several times in my life with different experiences that, yes, He guides me one step at a time, and He'll let me see maybe two or three steps ahead. But if you showed me the whole plan, I ain't going. I'm just saying, I ain't going. And because I never would have dreamed I would have done the things that I've done or attempted those things if I'd have known what was coming. And, you know, interestingly enough, we went to a wedding on Saturday. And you always think about, there's two people standing up there, madly in love. And the pastor is saying, to have and to hold, for richer, for poorer, and sickness and health, and they're not really paying attention to the words, because I mean, it's not really, but those things are coming. And if you can see the whole journey with this person or whatever, you'd be like, I'm not sure. But, and that's kind of the way that this Christian walk is that's why we walk by faith and not by sight, is because there's some stuff coming. And, you know, you talked about warfare and those kind of things, but I wouldn't want it any other way. Because a day with him is better than any bad day I ever had without him, or good day. But it just that's just the way he works. And I love that, because I got up one morning and was quick story that and I was reading in Genesis or something, and you know, just you never know what the day's gonna unfold. And I was working on appliances, home appliances at the time, and so I put my Bible down, I put on my uniform, and I got in my work van, I went to work. And first call, I go in this lady's house, never met her before in my life, and I have on a Sears uniform, and I don't have a priest collar on or anything like that. I just have a work uniform. And I go in to work on her washing machine, and she shows me where it is, and I go about my business, and I don't think no more about it. And she comes around the corner, and she goes, "You're a man of God. Tell me something." And I'm going, number one, how do you know that? And so she asked me a question on the very scripture that I read that morning and studied out. I mean, the very scripture. And I'm going, "God, you are so awesome," because I wouldn't have had the answer if I hadn't sat at your feet this morning. I wouldn't have known. And just an incredible thing, because, I mean, two random people, so to speak. But there's nothing random in God's world.
Did you ask her why she knew you were a man of God?
No, I was scared to.
Was it the halo? I'm thinking that's what it was.
Yeah. No. The horn's holding it up usually. But yeah. But I don't know why, and I don't know why I didn't ask her, but I was amazed.
No, that's exactly how it works, that he chooses you. That's how it works so many times. Well, we actually saved what I would consider the best clip for last. I really, this clip amazes me. And so, Rodney, I got to tell you, I was dumbfounded when you played it, and I'm more dumbfounded now that I've thought about it some more. So go ahead.
Well, that's what it did with me when I found it some months ago when I was watching it, and I was like, man, I got to go back and listen to that. And I listened to it, and I said, I need to store that away for someday. And it just kind of, with this topic, I'm like, I think this fits. So I had to go back and double check and everything, but I ended up going with a clip from a movie, a World War II movie. It's one of my two genres, that and Westerns. Attack on the Iron Coast. It's Lloyd Bridges. He's the major. He's the mission leader. And the movie starts off where he's had a big failure and a lot of men died. He's going through that, but he's kind of promising, the next one's going to be done right, whatever that means at that time. This mission is called Mad Dog, so you'll hear that a little bit. And it's heavily opposed. And over time, they finally get the mission approved. There's a bunch of drama around all that. But then the mission is actually to take this German boat and drive it into a harbor and use it as a bomb to run into a ship in the harbor and blow things up, because it's a very big depot that they need to slow down, because they can repair things faster at that depot than what they're doing as far as causing damage. And they really need to cause a major disruption there. The captain of the boat is a man whose son was lost in that previous skirmish that we talked about, that Lloyd Bridges had led and it failed. And a lot of dead people included this guy's son. So this captain is vigorously opposing this mission. And then they're on the boat and they're reaching the point of like no return. They're either going to go in and perform the mission or not. And there's supposed to be this aerial assault near the harbor to draw a lot of the Germans away, so they'll have less resistance going in, because they're going to get spotted eventually going in. Even though they're in a German boat, the signals go and they don't always know, they're not keeping up with the latest signals, so they're gonna get some resistance eventually. Well, the captain, again, he's opposed to this, but he's actually in charge of the boat. While they're on the water and before they actually get to their target, he's the one in charge and can say, no, we're done, because things aren't right or whatever, the mission's going to be scrapped. And then what ends up happening is that the captain receives orders while he's on the bridge that says, okay, this is from headquarters, we're canceling the mission because they don't have that air support. Well, what ends up happening, you'll hear it in this clip, is when Lloyd Bridges comes on the major, he gets the second message comes across because the captain said, no, I'm going through with the mission. And then what you hear in this clip is Lloyd Bridges hearing the actual message coming in from headquarters. Then you're going to hear him talking with the captain. And there's some very, about the last little interchange between them is what really I want you to kind of pay attention to, as far as listen to his perspective changing.
Right. And to highlight mm-hmm. that one little piece is this captain blames Lloyd Bridges completely for his son's death mm-hmm. throughout the movie. And so here's all this bitterness. And that's why this particular conversation is so critical to the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what is it? Signal, sir. Read it. Read it. Emergency. Await acknowledgement of my 987B1. Cancel, repeat, cancel, mad dog. Insist you comply with this instruction and return at once. Acknowledge immediately. Who's that addressed to? The captain.
All right, Sparks. Well, what do you make of that?
Larry, it's none of my business. But I think this old lady might be getting a reprieve. Why? Mad dog cancel. Why? What reason did they give? I don't understand, Franklin. You've been fighting this operation from the very beginning. Yet now they've called it off. You don't have a thing to say.
Standing on the bridge, Major, it's different than sitting behind a desk.
What's that supposed to
be? If you're closer to death, that makes you closer to life. And the truth comes rushing in. You didn't kill my son. He was a casualty of war.
And it's a war we have to win.
A war we have to win.
So in that, it's all... really, for me, it was about a new perspective. You had this captain who was bitter because he lost his son, and he had to have somebody to blame, and that was the major. And you can tell when the perspective changes when he says, standing on the bridge, Major, it's different than sitting behind a desk, because that's what he did before. He'd never been out on the mission, and circumstances led him to actually be out on this mission. And again, for us as Christians, we get that new perspective when the truth of God's word comes over us and we are washed by the blood of Christ. It's 180 degrees the other direction. We're a new man. We're a new nature, and we're that new identity adopted into Christ, and we see things differently. We hear things differently. You know, the loss and the suffering that we've all witnessed and had, it just, the meaning of all that changes instantly. And to know that we're a sinner, to know that we're at enmity with God. And the only reason we know all of this is because now we know who God is. And we learn about us through learning and knowing who God is, that he is holy and righteous and wholly set apart, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. I mean, he's completely set apart from us. And in him is life. And that's like Andy was talking about before, was life. That's the word, when you're into it, it gives you life. And that's where you find it, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through him. And then he keeps speaking in that clip, and he's like, as you get closer to death, that makes you closer to life, and the truth comes rushing in. And I know that was for me. When I understood Christ's death and what it meant for me, truth came rushing in, and I'm like, oh my gosh. He died for me, not just, oh, he died for sins, died for the world. No, he died for me. It's personal. And to not to know about him, to not study, to not work and be diligent is like taking life away. And again, like there, you know, you don't only have life in him, like I'm alive, but you have eternal life. It's me in Christ and Christ in me forever. And then he's, finally, you get the realization, you didn't kill my son. He was a casualty of war. Oh, I know that I actually, you know, he's actually pardoning the major there a little bit. But in this spiritual war, I know that I did put Christ on that cross. It was my sin that put him there. But in his glorious light, he rescued me from darkness and brought me into his light, and that I am adopted as an eternal son. And then, he, you know, the bread of life, living water, you've got all those verses. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the source. He's the source of salvation. He's the one that rescues us from darkness. And I am the light of the world, he says. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And without Christ, I'm a dead man walking. There's nothing there. And even in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And then I love when he talks to the disciples after he's talking with the woman at the well. I have food to eat, you know not of, right? It's like, what's he talking about? You know, that relationship, the knowledge, the word that he's given us, he knows his own word that he's given to us. And he's basking in that with the Father continually. And then at the end, it talks about it is a war we have to win. And that's a war that is already finished. It's already won. Christ has done everything. He's fulfilled all of what he had to do. And when he's on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then we're just waiting for, you know, the fullness of the Gentiles. And we're just waiting for his sovereign plan to go out and just to be a part of that story. Man, that sets my heart ablaze.
Right. But we got a battle to fight right now, because, you know, every soul that is not know Christ, right, it's breaking his heart, because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and hell's one horrible place. And so if you're upset about somebody like that, you can imagine God's really upset about that, and it gives us the opportunity to speak to that subject and invite him to a boot camp. So that's coming up November 21st through the 24th. You know, just saying. And you can go to masculinejourney.org and register masculinejourney.org. Listen to past podcast. It's all there.
Podcast too.
Podcast. We're doing some little podcasting. Yeah, whatever we need to do. We'll be back next week. Bang.
This is the Truth Network.